last agenda item on our on today's agenda, which is general discussion. Is there anything anybody wishes to raise?
Yeah, Vice Chair, this is Commissioner Smith.
Go ahead.
Just kudos to my fellow commissioners, Graybill and Kehoe. The three of us participated in the UW Recreational Fisheries Symposium class, whatever, the other day, and everybody did a good job, so it was fun.
It was fun.
Thanks.
I agree.
Okay, thank you, Brad. Anybody else?
Commissioner Holzmiller.
Commissioner.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, how you doing there again? Apologize up front to you guys that I know I'm always sound like a one-note samba on this deal, but on the WOOP issue, looking forward to our June meeting. I see that there's nothing of any significance pertaining to wildlife. Having a pretty in-depth conversation, and in fact, I don't know what day was it, girls, that we met, had a couple, three-hour WOOP subcommittee meeting. There's quite a few things at play, and eventually, especially us seasiders would love to see these wolves get delisted, and there's a couple different avenues to go down that way. And I can talk with Kelly offline on this, and he could figure it out, but I think it's something that we need to maybe bring the rest of the commission up to speed on, and if we could carve out 15, 20 minutes someplace in the June meeting to let them know so that we can keep them up to speed, because there's some things at play here that I think it would be beneficial to the fellow commissioners to be aware of what all is going on and some different avenues that can be pursued. So I'm just throwing that out there.
So Commissioner Baker, Commissioner Holzmiller reminds me, this might be an appropriate time to do a committee report. I was sort of thinking of the June meeting, but since it's kind of fresh in our minds, I'd be happy to do a committee report right now to the full committee with your help. And then also to note, as part of that, that we did have a discussion about the next meeting of our WOLF committee, and we want to time it with some work that the WAG is doing. The WAG is right now in the process of scheduling an in-face meeting. We were planning, if that in-face meeting happens before our June meeting, to actually replace the big tent committee meeting on the that's on this draft agenda here with a WOLF committee meeting at lunchtime on Friday. So if the rest of the commission's in agreement, I can also start a report on the WOLF committee meeting. We met on Tuesday of this week by teleconference. We did have public on the call. It was a public meeting. And as Commissioner Holzmiller mentioned, we went over 2 hours testing some pretty important goings on. As you know, we're into the grazing season. That's always a time of intense interest subject. There are a lot of moving parts, and as Commissioner Holzmiller said, there's going to need to be commission engagement, and that's one of the things we're working on in the WOLF Committee is those touch points. So shall I go ahead with a report?
Commissioner Kehoe, I'm 20 minutes late for another call that I was supposed to get on, so I'm very interested, obviously, in this wolf issue. I know commissioners Holzmiller at Thorburn, we might be spending some time in the car in a couple weeks, and I would be more than if there's going to be discussion at the WOLF committee meeting at the commission meet, or at the wildlife committee meeting, I would certainly like to attend, so I'm going to have to unfortunately sign off. Not because I'm not interested, obviously.
Go ahead.
I have about 9 minutes before I have to go to another appointment, and so I also am very interested in it, but I don't know if I have time to take it in, and if there's any last-minute budget discussions. Anyway, I don't want to prioritize that. I'll leave it up to the rest of you, but I will have to be out of here in about 10 minutes.
Commissioner,
Vice Chair Baker, this is Jay.
Go ahead.
And there again, Kim, I appreciate you willing to do it, but there again, there's a lot of moving parts, and hopefully the WAG is going to meet. So I think it might be beneficial that we just, like you said, do a set down over there where we can all get in a room and talk. And there again, there's a ton of moving parts to this whole deal. So maybe we might be hoobus to just postpone it, if you don't mind.
Sounds good. Okay, so given everybody's time constraints, let's ask the director if he has anything pressing to say while we're all on the phone.
I don't believe so. And I did sound like Commissioner McIsaac was trying to get in.
Yeah,
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you. Yes, as you're trying to budget the time out here, I wanted to bring up a couple of other things with regard to the June meeting and was going to start with that. I also had a couple of questions on the budget business, which I could start with that as well. And so I just want to let you know that's what I had intended to bring up. And I also might want to alert the commissioners as to a change in the Columbia River Policy Review Committee meeting dates. That's certainly the lowest priority for people that are about ready to drop off as well. But I don't know anybody else who else out there might have some possible things to bring up under agenda item F. Those were what I was going to bring up.
Okay, just in the interest of time, I had a couple, but only one that I really need to say, which is that we are going to be interviewing for Tammy's replacement next week on the 4th and the 5th. Currently, Commissioner Carpenter and I will be the commissioners that will be in the room for those 2 days, but we sort of more than welcome and actually would encourage anyone else who wants to participate, might be overstating it, but is willing to participate to come do those interviews with us. If not, we will be talking to you about that at our meeting in Port Angeles. So I just wanted to get that in real quick. With that, does anybody else, Don has two items. Does anybody else have anything they want to raise? Oh, and the only other thing I have is that the Big Tent Committee meeting has been postponed, and we'll talk about that later, but I think it's going to be replaced, as Kim said, with a Wolf Committee meeting. So go ahead, Don.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. So the two budget questions I had had to do with the 2020 problem solution package that we've all heard a little bit about, and the second one is a question about the supplemental budget process and how all that plays out between today and meeting in Port Angeles and beyond. So on the 2020 budget matter, when the subgroup of commissioners that I was involved with talked about this, I had asked that the director and the agency consider the matter of the Skagit catch and release fishery. That's about a six-week fishery, I guess, that would be in the spring of 2020, and something about a 10-month closure in Puget Sound due to lack of monitoring or eliminating the monitoring of some sort of the Puget Sound fishery. And in the context of not getting the funding for the Columbia River endorsement, and that being something that ought to be solved separately, we did get funding for the license matter that we had asked for, but in general fund. I know that the Skagit catch and release thing had been piecemealed together for 1 year. There was some talk about kind of an elevated budget that had been planned for that included enforcement folks and all the rest. But I guess I would ask, and since there were commissioners that weren't on that call, that I don't know if they may have been concerned about the same thing. I wondered whether or not any other commissioners had any thoughts about those two things and whether the director had thought any more about it since that call. On those two matters associated with non-Columbia River fishery impacts, and again, just very quickly, the proposal had been to elevate the vacancy rate from 4% to 4-point-something in the most economical way to accommodate those fisheries for 2020 while we look at long-term supplemental packages to deal with priorities.
Commissioner Baker, I'll just add, I was on the call, and I objected to raising the vacancy rate any further. It's pretty extreme as it is. I talked about my concern about its impact on staff morale. This whole budget situation has been ongoing and a strain on morale, and I don't think we need to say you've got to work this much harder because we're holding all these positions vacant. It is going to help that. So I support the notion of the 4% vacancy to try and keep us as whole as we can to go any higher. I supported really what it's been presented to us, including, unfortunately, this. I know the Skagit catch and release has been a big deal for folks up there, but, you know, if the money's not there, the money's not there.
Vice Chair Baker.
Go ahead, Commissioner Carpenter.
Well, first of all, as it relates to Commissioner McKenzie's comments on Puget Sound, I'd like that reviewed, and the director and staff can look at that. But I would like to make a comment about the Skagit River catch and release fishery. I don't know if Commissioner Smith has any comments, and he can decide if he wants to weigh in. But to the credit of the constituents that also have a lot at risk here and have spent a lot of equity, sweat equity, coming in front of us for 7 years in a very professional, well-meaning, cordial manner, asking for consideration. It took us forever to get to a point where we allowed a catch-and-release fishery. Now, a catch-and-release fishery is not a fishery that smokes a lot of fish. That's not what it's about. The folks are on the water to have a participation opportunity and enjoy the beautiful area where we live. And I looked at the numbers that were allocated to cost of monitoring, and I don't agree with those. I would think it would be particularly harmful for the image of us, the commission and the department, to put that in play for 1 year. And it's about as clean a fishery as you can imagine. I would really, really object to that being eliminated. I think it's false economics, and I just don't think it's going to work into the future. So.
This is Commissioner Graybill.
Go ahead, David.
When Commissioner McIsaac introduced the idea of sustaining that fishery that Commissioner Carpenter just referred to on the Skagit River, Commissioner McIsaac felt that that was probably not a very costly exercise to monitor that fishery, when in fact it's $500,000. And that's a significant amount of money when we're looking at staff cutbacks. He also suggested going up to 4.2 or 4.3 on this staff's 4% reduction. And we were reminded that each point represents $750,000. That's a lot of staff. And I want to remind people that we're talking about staff's positions, their families, and the potential of them having to leave the agency and move to different areas. I had a conversation at the dock in Bellingham on last Sunday when I participated in the spot prawn fishery. And this person I talked to had been with the agency for 26 years and had been informed that they only had 6 months salary available, and that they could reposition her, reassign her, and that would require a move. And she's lived in Bellingham for the last 22 years. And so we really have to think about the impact of what we're doing if we consider any other increases to that 4%. So I would object to any movement that would increase that.
Well, let me, Vice Chair Baker, I guess I'd ask David. David, you've been around the fishing community your whole life. $500,000 to monitor a six-week catch-and-release fishery? Give me the short version of your view on the math on that one.
Excuse me, yes. Larry, that was what we were...
Or anybody else, I don't care.
That was one of the reasons I was disappointed in the loss of the Columbia River endorsement, because there's... I don't know where we're going to find the money to be able to conduct fisheries in our region, my region particularly. But certainly, Larry, if you want to examine that, see if there's a way to reduce enforcement, reduce the monitoring in Creel that is mandatory through NOAA, if there's a way to reduce those costs, that's fine. But I just want to make sure everybody's aware what happens if we sustain a six-week fishery. How many positions within the department does it threaten?
This is Commissioner Baker. A question for staff on this. First off, it's incredible that we can be in accord as much as we are on a very, very difficult budget. And it sounds to me like this is a sticking point. So is there a time by which we have to make a decision on this fishery? Is it today? Ron?
Commissioner Baker, this is Nate. We can certainly revisit this. I think it would be important for us to understand what the opportunity cost is of where we would find the $512,000 of savings somewhere else. Is that closing down a hatchery? Is that laying off wildlife conflict staff? Is that laying off land staff? Is that laying off enforcement for sanitary shellfish? All of those items that we identified in the zero-based budgeting process. So we could certainly do that. Maybe Kelly Cunningham has some more specifics on what's in this particular item.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Commissioners. As many of you recall, the biggest sticking point for us in being able to prosecute this fishery was getting NOAA on board, and what resulted in that was our monitoring plan. So put differently, the monitoring that we're doing is required in our permit. We can, we could probably go back and have another conversation with NOAA based on, impacts from the last 2 years of prosecuting that fishery. But as it stands today, that $500,000 is what's required for us to be able to prosecute that fishery.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, so I understood that $500,000 for a biennium instead of 1 year. And I understood that this involved a lot of enforcement. When you build a program and you bill out all the different things that can come to a number. When this fish started, I recall at the front table hearing something about $100,000 for a fishery or something like that, much smaller. And I think it would be a good exercise to take a look at the zero-based budgeting things and see what is just below the waterline. The proposal here is a vacancy rate. It's not closing hatcheries. It's not doing doing anything of the sort that was described there. This has to do with holding a position that's already vacant open for another period of time. That was the proposal. But I do think it might be good to get these numbers out on the table so we can all see them. And in comparison to what has been done in the past, compare those two and see what can be done. The fishery doesn't start till next year, and we're going to be talking supplemental, and we'll be talking about priorities then. And what are the priorities relative to the other things on the zero-based budgeting structure there that we haven't, the commissioners have not yet seen. So I like the idea of taking a look at this, and if we can do that at some point at our June meeting, maybe that might be the opportunity to do so. But the $500,000, can we at least clear that up? That's for a full biennium, or is that for 1 6-week season?
Right.
It's a biennial number.
And the difference between the last two seasons, as you will recall, the first year we prosecuted that fishery, last year, we didn't have our permit in hand until late in the game, and we were only able to prosecute a two-week fishery. And this year, because we had the permit in hand, we were able to prosecute a full two-month fishery. So that's a difference in that cost. But we're happy to dig into that and provide the commission with the actual cost for that permitting that's required by the permit.
And one last comment to follow up on Commissioner Carpenter's comment on our image here. You know, we did receive all the money we were asking for licenses in general fund, and then have to talk about these two fisheries. I think we need to think about what our image would be there. And on the matter of the Puget Sound closure or lack of monitoring or whatever that is, I'm not clear after thinking about it what that might mean with some of our international obligations on halibut, if that's involved in the monitoring loss, or if this is something that's benign because of the North of Falcon results and isn't really of consequence. So, these are prioritization matters of a policy nature. I think we should take a closer look at it.
Okay, so this is Barbara. This is a wonderful conversation, which we will not come to closure on in this call. So I think the useful thing to do is determine what the next step is. Apparently, we're going to talk about this at the June meeting. There will be more information available to all of us. Chair Carpenter, do you want to put this on the Fish Committee meeting in June and then report to the commission, or is there some negotiations that can happen on the side involving fewer commissioners, or how do you think we should proceed?
I'm pretty flexible. I'll leave it up to staff between now and then, but certainly the Fish Committee should have some discussion about it. And I just want to say I appreciate the effort that's been put forth by the staff, and I certainly appreciate the diverse comments from my colleagues on it. It's nobody wants to be involved in people losing their jobs, but that's also reflective of what happens in the private sector when we're responsible for making decisions that close businesses, put businesses of 30, 40 years out of business. And so let's just drill down on this. Let's find out where we really are so we can try to find a fix for some of these problems, because I think it, just to reiterate, I think it really is important to the public what we do, how they perceive what we do, and thank you all for that. I have to get off now, so everybody have a great and safe weekend, so thank you.
Can I just make a comment?
Sure.
As this is probably going to be further discussed, we're advocating for specific fisheries, and I would just remind you that these are really hard decisions. Everybody has a favorite fishery, and whatever we cut is going to be hurt. And as Dave has pointed out, what's being cut across the board are the Upper Columbia fisheries. Part of that's helped by the fact that there are going to be no fish in the Upper Columbia fishery, so they'd be closed anyway. But these decisions impact somebody's favorite fishery, and as we advocate, that has to go into the decision-making.
No, that's a fair comment, Kim, but this is not my favorite fishery. I have nothing to do with it other than I live here. And yeah. Please remember that these folks called Occupy Skagit have been coming in front of this commission for 7 years. I'm sensitive to that. I hope that some of the rest of you would be, too. They tried to do it the right way. And I understand there's a risk-reward for everything we do. But thank you for those comments.
So, Commissioner Kelly, we can dig in. We'll drill down a little bit as you described it in the upcoming commission meeting, also us committee meetings. I want to put a little different lens on it. We put a ton of work, a year plus work, into the zero-based budget. We had multiple briefings, even since I've been here, and some before I got here with the commission, where we were doing exactly what we're trying to do now and draw that line, and we drew those lines. And then we went to the legislature, and we lauded our own efforts in developing that process and what a great process it was. And here are the results, legislature. Now we're talking about upending those results later, after the fact. So that has some credibility issues as well. The legislature gave us what we asked for, but we asked for that and enough money to cover any additional costs. So we got what we were short going into the biennium, but there was also another about $15 million added on to that. So we're $20 million short for the biennium from where we need to be. We drew some lines prior, told folks where we would draw those lines. Part of what I stuck to on this last thing was drawing that line that between the, we had our two big buckets, maintain, buyback, and enhance. And anything on the enhance, to me, has a pretty hard struggle to get back on that list. And I thought we knew that going in. Skagit is on that enhance list. So we've been pretty transparent to folks that absent money, we're not going to be able to get to the enhancements, and that was one of them. We'll dig in. We'll do some additional work. But we could second-guess ourselves forever on these things, and at some point, we have to make the final decision. And we also, frankly, have to quit doing everything that we said we couldn't do when we don't get the money, because that, one, sends a bad message to the legislature that you didn't really need it when you asked for it, and two, if you do it, you don't do it well, and so our overall quality of work is going down at the same time, which further erodes our credibility. So we'll have further discussion, but there's more to it than just this fishery, and I'd ask people to keep the big picture in mind.
So, Commissioner Baker, if I could just echo what Kelly started off with. We've been involved in this process, which was quite intensive as it's gone along, and they're tough decisions. I certainly support what Kelly just said.
Commissioner Isaac, just to correct the record, we did not see what was below the zero-based budgeting line. Last June and August, what we saw was status quo, another $30 million, and some enhancement packages above that. The commission was not involved in drawing the line on that boundary and did not ever see, was not presented, the things that were on the bubble below the line. So when we drew the line, we, the commission, were not involved in drawing that lower line that now is the boundary. So just for the record, unless there were some things I didn't know about, that's just not true.
If I
okay.
Can,
go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, so I don't see that it's my responsibility to do every line on the budget. That's why I have staff. My responsibility is, as a commissioner, is to establish policy and principle. We had lots of discussions on the principles that went into the zero-based budgeting, and that's what I say we were involved.
Okay, this is Vice Chair Baker one more time. I think that we have more discussion to have on this. It's actually raising some very good ideas and principles about what commission involvement can and should be and has been. We're not going to get that resolved today. We still have more to talk about, and we're approximately 15 minutes over our allotted time. So I'd like to table this discussion for right now.
and bring it back up again in probably multiple venues in our, when we are all together in Port Angeles. Is there anybody who firmly objects to that? Good. Let's keep going. Commissioner McIsaac, you had another point to raise.
Yes, and I'll be very brief on that. It has to do with the June commission meeting agenda, and I do think it's good to get this agenda finalized and out so the public knows what may be coming. The minutes reflected some discussion on our last conference call that did not get into this draft. So it had to do with moving agenda items 12, 13, and 14 earlier. The minutes didn't say exactly where, but the suggestion was to move these three items dealing with legislative review, supplemental session proposals, and supplemental operating and capital budget requests to agenda items 4, 5, and 6. I think that needs to be done in what is sent out. The minutes also reflected an intent to have a Cougar management review process, a written process and schedule for that out at some point, and I'd suggest maybe listing that under the three, the director's report. I think these things are just didn't get into it because they were in the minutes. That was agenda planning had been, according to the minutes, to be added to the Big Tent Committee meeting. Now there's some discussion about reversing or eliminating that meeting, and so I'm not sure what to do about that. Then I did have a question about the supplemental budget process after this, but those were comments on the agenda meeting, and we're not very far away from it now, so I think it's good to get this finalized and posted on the website for the public.
Tammy, are you on the line still?
Yes, I am.
I think we all remember that discussion on swapping out the different agenda items. Is there any problem with getting that done before the agenda goes public?
Well, as we talked, Vice Chair, and the Chair was involved as well, was that the PSRs that Don's proposing we move to the afternoon, all of those folks will be staying the night before to be at the Wildlife Committee meeting. We didn't think it was necessary to have those folks stay until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we were trying to think about staff time. And now hearing the discussions today, my guess is that a few of the topics that Don's proposing to move to the morning would likely run over. So putting them at the back of the day where if we run over, it's not impacting 7 more agenda items seems to make a little more sense. So unless you feel strongly about switching these all around, I propose we leave them where they are.
Okay, well, this is Vice Chair Baker again. I don't feel strongly about switching them all around, but I do feel strongly about adhering to a decision that was made previously, and my recollection at least is that we made that decision. Does anybody else care to comment on that?
My I just heard Don comment that that's what he would like. I didn't hear anybody make a decision on it.
Yeah, I don't recall that it was a decision either. When we get changing the agenda around in these discussions about the agenda, I've always in the back of my mind, is it something that needs to be checked in terms of staff availability? And also, I didn't recall it as a decision. I just, is it a feasible kind of discussion?
And okay, my perspective again on this is this may be the most important part of the whole meeting, particularly the supplemental budget. And if it's the last thing in the day, in the past people have not liked to have these heavy lifts at the end of the day. And if the agendas go on and somehow we don't give them the proper attention, the most important matters, because we run out of time at the end of the day, that's just not a good thing to happen. So, it is a matter we have to think about what the staff travel things are, but I think we owe it to the process to give our best attention to the most serious agenda items and do a good job on those if that's what it takes.
This is Vice Chair Baker again. This is precisely the reason that I asked to add agenda setting to the Big Tent Committee. It will remain there. It will have its place. We are postponing the committee this time because, frankly, we aren't prepared to come talk to you about something I consider even more important, which is strategic planning. We'll be doing that at the next in-person meeting. My request on this is to have Tammy review not the minutes, but the audio when this discussion happened, figure out if we in fact did agree to move those slots, and if we did, then to move them, and if we didn't, then to not, and keep this as something that we address when we get into agenda setting. Does that work for everybody? Does it not work for anybody? Is that okay with you, Tim?
Yes, that works.
Okay, let's do it that way for just right now, just in the interest of time. We understand this is a problem, and Don, I really understand your concern about this. I've been frustrated as well when we run out of time to do things that are important. Unfortunately, we are doing exactly that right now, so let's resolve that way and go to your next discussion item.
It was just a simple question on the process for the supplemental budget decision. So I see it on the June agenda as a briefing, and the question is between now and the June commission meeting and to whenever it comes to finality, what is the process? There'll be a lot of important policy decisions on what is in the supplemental operating and capital budget requests.
Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner McIsaac, this is Nate. Here's what we kind of have in mind, and it mirrors the same approach we took last year, which was at the June Commission meeting, we would share the concepts that we're proposing to include in the supplemental. And this one's a little bit unique because we need to have a conversation about what color of money, that is, whether or not we're pursuing all of this as general fund, and then perhaps working with the legislature in 2020 to resurrect a portion of our fee bill, or do we go ahead and have that the fee bill be part of our overall budget package that we socialize all summer, and then and try to seek a coalition of support, and then we would be bringing final recommendations based on public input that we've heard over our draft concepts to you in August for adoption, so that we can then submit our proposals to the governor's office in September.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of if there are any ideas of the commissions to matters on the supplemental request, how big it is and what are all involved in it, that would be a fundamental discussion at the June meeting.
Correct. And also, if there's, you know, other ideas for us to pursue in the supplemental, that would be a good time to include it. Last year, we had heard some additions to our budget request at the August meeting that caused us to have, you know, a couple, three other phone calls to try to get it ready for us to do in the governor's. And so we're hoping to have that kind of that brainstorm and kind of getting the concepts molded in June so that we're bringing final recommendations to you in August.
Yes, thank you. That's one of the reasons I'm at.
Does anybody, commissioners or staff, have anything else they want to discuss or ask at this time? Appreciate the, obviously, all the work that's gone into this phone call. Especially appreciate everybody's passion for what we do, and I'll see you guys in a week and a half or so in Port Angeles. Hearing nothing further, I hereby adjourn this meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. See you guys later.